Okay, great. I'm here with Tom Young. First off, my good buddy, Tom Young, founder of Rum Jog, and I think the first person who got it when it came to RPA. Certainly the first person who introduced me to RPA. Tom, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it.
So, listen, here's what I'd like to speak about today. I know you like to go unscripted and
right.
We just kind of do the thing. What do you call it, Tom? Ham and egging it?
Ham and egg. Okay. Yeah, we've done a lot of it.
I got that expression from you. So I want to talk about a theme that's important to us and our membership this year,
right?
Which is countdown to 2020.
Right.
Why? Because a couple of years ago, you and I were sitting somewhere. I think we were drinking bourbon or the like. And we were talking about kind of when we anticipate this tipping point. We ended up with 2020. Mm-hmm. And I'm sticking to that. Why?
Right.
Well, there were plenty of forecasts that we had that didn't exactly play out, right? But here's what I'm seeing. Tell me if you agree. I see things coming together. Where are we now versus even 3 years ago? More and more use cases and users. We're way beyond the advisors not getting it, right? You and I were there when even the advisors and the analysts didn't get it. The funding being pumped into this space is significant,
right.
And which is means they're hiring more, which means they're doing more deals, which means there's a lot more tech. So, so the question is, when do we get from companies being able to take their time and dabble to you're in or you're out? We're saying 2020. What do you think?
Yeah, I go back, some of our early conversations were in like 2013 and 2014. And then, the term that, when we would go out and meet with people and do our ham and egg routine, one of the terms was used was voodoo.
Mm-hmm,
People aren't saying that anymore. And so at some level, I will say the awareness level of RPA and AI, we've passed that tipping point on the awareness. But I think as your question around dabbling, I think you need to be in this year and familiar by next year so that you're able to move on it. Because you can't move overnight. You need to have some familiarity with not just the technology, but how to make it a solution in your environment. Because the early deployments that we did when we would go into companies, they weren't technical problems to solve. They were political problems. It was, how do I manage change management? How do I get past security? How do I convince regulators or people who have a say over the data and who owns the data? Where can I process it and how are decisions being made? And again, one of the recent conversations I had with some leaders last week at an AI summit had to do with the black box of AI. When you start to introduce artificial neural networks into the decision engine, nobody really knows how it works. So we can't do an if that then this kind of deconstruct. So the regulators say, why did the Google car decide to turn left at that point and veer over here and make that mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Why? You really can't answer that. You can just measure it by the efficacy of the outcomes.
No, I agree. And I see 2020 as really the beginning, Tom, of kind of the next chapter of the book, if you will. So we're not anticipating a switch being flipped, right? And I know you are not as well. But let's just take it from a service provider standpoint,
yeah.
Right? If you're an outsourcing service provider and 90% of your deliverables are still based on labor arbitrage, could you and I agree as you get to 2020, 2021, it's just like, what are you doing with those, with the CD music, right?
Yeah.
Time to switch over, brother, right?
It's hard because at some level they have a conflict of interest here, and in fact, some of the large Indian service companies used to report headcount as a proxy for revenue. Now, most of them have stopped doing that because there's been a decoupling. But that decoupling is accelerating. And I think, you and I talked before about we started recording this. The future is really going to be about selling solutions, not selling recurring services.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sell a service, I'm selling a spare part to a broader solution.
Mm-hmm.
When I sell a solution, I'm selling an outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different business model.
No, absolutely. It also, if you think of it, you and I were in the room maybe 3, 4, even 5 years ago where there were people that were interested in AI, but let's say they were looking into Watson, and then suddenly the proposition was $4 million in 4 years, right? And then suddenly an RPA player shows up and says, well, we could prove something out for 50 grand in 60 days. So they went that route, not because it was more powerful or more game-changing, but it was easier to get started. Yeah. Right? It was easy in, you can prove it out. So, and that's kind of what got us here. What I think really, where things really make a, where we shift gears, if you will, next year, back into this year, is where companies now begin to see that you can get the power of AI, but you can buy it by the drink. Mm-hmm. It doesn't require millions of dollars, and you don't need to custom tailor it. There are more and more, each quarter, if you look out there and you go by, there's more and more well-funded AI plays that are fit for purpose, either by a process or a vertical. So if you're in healthcare, or you want to do something at an IT help desk, or do you want to do something with HR, it's super smart, it's powerful, it's fit for purpose, and you sign on the dotted line, and they flip a switch, and you're on in like 30 days. That, to me, is part of where I see this the next pivot. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think if you're on the buy side, you know, you would have and you will make a mistake if you try to go acquire AI, like you have to bring that technology in-house. Because you're not going to buy it or own it. You're going to consume it through OpenStack API and callable functions in the cloud. What you do need to get your work done, and this is where you see a huge hurdle, is you need to organize the data that you have in your environment. We use the term digital exhaust, and you need to do a landscape of that and say, who has decision rights? Who's gonna own that data? Where am I gonna collect it? How am I gonna organize it to prep it so that the AI in the cloud, whoever it might be, it could be IBM, it could be anybody, you can crowdsource it for some cases. But I wanna make my data accessible to those functions because they're constantly changing, they're constantly improving. So I think people who want to pursue AI on the buy side, go focus on your data strategy.
No, that's a really good point. Speaking of data, you know, I think about second and third generation outsourcing deals back in the day, Tom, where you and I grew up, as compared to the first ones, right? The first ones were very painful, right? So you speak to some CIO who's in trouble and you say, we could do lift and shift to India. And that was kind of sacrilege and painful. And they did it as a last resort, right? And then contrast that, if you will, to the second generation deal they may have done five or six years later, and then a third generation deal, and how much quicker and painless that shift was then. So think about, so fast forward to the present. So there's more and more companies scaling now, which means they're getting more telemetry, and they're also getting the hang of it, and the IT guys are getting it, the business guys are getting it, the contracts guys get through their first to second and fifth contract. And now you get second and third generation automation and AI deals. Picture now where there's a lot more data, right? There's a lot more confidence, and you get into 2021, 2022, just think of how this takes off.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we're talking to clients about is that as we progress in these multi-generations, I think the first generation is largely a defensive playbook, which is how do I deploy these technologies to get things better, faster, cheaper? And that's a good business case when you get it right. But I think when you get into the second and third generation, as you articulate, you get into the second and third waves of value. And we like to think of the second wave as an exploitation wave, where I take the data in the digital exhaust that comes off the platforms and I do something with it. I do something with that data. I could feed it back to the system and make my system even better, or I could start to marry that data like a Google or a Facebook, and Facebook's getting a little bit of trouble this week, but they take that data and they sell it or exploit it or use it for another business reason. Mm-hmm. And then the third wave is truly transforming the business. And then we like to use Netflix as an example of a company who took digital exhaust. And when they digitize Blockbuster, essentially, they beat Blockbuster's out of business. Mm-hmm. They take the digital telemetry off of that, and they use it to inform a decision about their first foray into original content. So they said, hey, everybody who watched House of Cards, British show, right, like Kevin Spacey movies and David Fincher produced movies, and they said, let's get all of those together. Let's make an American version with David Fincher and Kevin Spacey as a star. And they made a $100 million bet on original content, and it totally changed their company. So now Last month, Netflix won a couple Academy Awards. So that's a transform. That's a third wave thing. So when we start to do these deals, we got to convince a lot of energy goes into making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the second and third generation, less energy is to that, and it's forward looking. What am I going to do with the data? How am I going to transform my business?
Spot on. So you're getting it to Hollywood now, Tom? Is that it? You're going to fund a movie? What do you think?
I do think content is going to be king going forward, because the distribution channels are widening up, and like I unplugged, I would say free TV, about a year and a half ago.
Wow.
I only watch pay TV, and I was at some party, and they had the show The Bachelor on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen the show.
Mm-hmm. Not that I would admit.
And I'm like, I felt like so disconnected from, because they had commercials.
Right, you're
like,
on Channel 4 or something.
Who's watching these commercials?
So if you look at Netflix, right, which I only began to get into about a year ago, it's just amazing, the user interface, just the...
Well, and the amount of original content, they're putting a lot of money. And so Apple's following, Disney's following, Google's putting money into, and that money is greenlighting a lot of projects. So if you're a creative type like mm-hmm, Dan and your son, mm-hmm. you have the ability to get a great idea funded. And where it used to be restricted, you know, who could get access to the networks. Now mm-hmm, the distribution mm-hmm. channels are wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You have great things like film festivals everywhere. There's a New York Film Festival. There's Tribeca here in New York. There's the original big film festival that Robert Redford set up in Sundance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of good stuff for creative outlet types. And I think content is going to be key to the future of the media markets, which is really going to drive new experiences.
So, Tom, the few minutes we have remaining, so let's assume you believe me for a moment that 2020 is the beginning of this tipping point, and here we are, 2019, and this is the countdown.
Yeah.
What is your advice, if you had to have one piece of really good advice for the sell side, for the service providers, and then one piece of really good advice for decision makers on the enterprise side, right?
Yeah.
Who are maybe still kind of dabbling or kind of slow walking this thing.
Yeah, so let's go to the buy side first. If you're on the buy side and you're still on the fence a little bit, so let's use 2020 as the iconic tipping point. I would just say this, it's expensive to be early and could be fatal to be late. So this year, you really need to start getting your strategy together. And again, if I'm late to the game at this point, I would immediately begin focusing on my data strategy. Where is all my data assets? Because what's nice about what I'll call the future services market in this space is it will be virtualized. You won't have to own it, you can buy it on a consumption basis. So at some level, you can use the fact that you're late to your advantage because you're not married to a big infrastructure or a big way of doing business. So take that disadvantage that sits today and flip to an advantage over the next year, but get going this year. If you're on the sell side, I think, you know, when we go into all the way down to account teams and we look on the sell side, I think you need at the very leadership level to address the inherent conflicts of interest in the future operating models to the current operating model. And as a leadership team, you need to free your teams up from being held to yesterday's way of doing business so that you can democratize the change. Can't just be at the top. Has to be all the way down the field to make that happen. Now that's a bitter pill to swallow, and not every service provider is willing to, you know, take a 20% haircut in their account base.
Right, right.
But that might be what the doctor ordered. And if you wait too long, and on the buy side hits that tipping point and they flip over, they're gonna flip your business out and you're not gonna lose a 20% haircut, it's gonna be 50, or you're gonna lose the account. And we've seen that happen before, but I think it's going to start happening at an accelerating pace. And again, I like the idea of 2020 being the tipping point. It is an iconic year, and we're moving into the next decade. And I think people really need to be looking towards the future.
Well, I'd like to continue this conversation with you, Tom Young, Rumjog. Thank you, as always, for your insight and your advice. And if people want to find you and seek your help, where do they go, Tom?
Best thing to do is go to the website. We're doing a lot of media stuff, but the best way, that's the aggregator of all of our stuff. You can go to YouTube, Instagram, all those different things. But best way is to go to the website, check out one of our podcasts. We love these conversations.
Great. Thank you, my buddy.
See you.
Great. Right, bye. Thank you.